Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 5, The Primacy, the Premature Primacy of the Astral Body is going to be the topic of this lecture. Just want to go a little bit more deeply into the why of what goes on in fourth grade in particular. Although up till now I've been talking about it as a continuation of the nine to 10 year change that began in grade 3, I want to now, which is true, I want to also look at it as something in and of itself, which is in many ways quite different from what goes on in third grade. If I can give you a thought to carry this year, which might be very helpful, we could say that the proper and dominant tone, tenor of grade 3 is a sobriety, a sadness, a quality of something slipping away, a quality of loss. This is the sorrow of the etheric body as it recognizes, we could say, that it is no longer the dominant member of the human being, that it is going to be supplanted in most respects by the astral body over the next years and for the rest of one's life. So there's this sense of that slipping away of this body, which is a body of life, of health, and all of this. That's going away. That won't just be there for one any more than the God of the Hebrew Scriptures is going to be there for the Israelites in the same way. It's really like the Lamentations, alas, Babylon, this sense that things are never going to be the same. And so we have the Hebrew Scriptures as the story material, the history material, the religious material altogether for grade 3, because those are the most sober scriptures ever written in any religion. You know, as I say in grade 3, somebody laughs only once, that's Sarah, and that's it. No more laughter. So the sorrow of the etheric body is the theme of grade 3, or at least the tone of grade 3. The joy of the astral body is the equal and opposite response of fourth grade. And this is very important. Fourth grade should be a time of joy, of laughter, sometimes of uproarious laughter, of raucous laughter, even inappropriate laughter. But that is as necessary for the fourth grader as sorrow and a sense of loss were for the third grader. And teachers have to be very careful because, you know, we do tend to want to continue what worked, as they say about West Point. It's generals teaching cadets how to win the last war, which never is going to work for the new one. That's why I guess the United States keeps trying out new wars to see what's going to work this time around. So this is a new war, grade 4, and it's one in which we as teachers must come in with a big smile on our face and ready to tell jokes, ready to listen to the children's jokes that they're going to tell us, however inappropriate some of them may be, they don't know, and the riddles that make them think hard and also make them smile when the very obvious solution is reached. This is the astral body. This is the astral body at its best, really streaming into the child's life with the permission, more or less, of the etheric body. It's had its period of mourning perhaps even of denial, and now it's accepting that which must come. And the astral body is only going to come with this intensity for this year. Some children 3 months, others 6 or 9 months, rarely longer than that. As you will see, fifth grade is much more subdued again, much more a balancing of the tone of grade 3 of sorrow and the tone of grade 4, acceptance and joy. So that's going to be very important for you to be ready to live with very different expectations on the part of the children. And here again, Rudolf Steiner to our rescue, suggesting that of all things, we move from the Hebrew scriptures to the Norse scriptures, which are hardly scriptures at all, of course. And we'll be looking at these remarkable myths and stories in later lectures. But here we have such an accurate picture of the soul life and even something of the nascent spirit life of the fourth grader. So we can only be grateful for, as in so many things, that Steiner suggested that this would be the right material with which to work in grade 4. And we'll see how many other things also come our way to help us with this very new sensibility on the part of the fourth grader. Now, I want to talk about the why. Why is it this way? Why can't we just grow in a nice linear way and, you know, the way a state syllabus would have it, that you kind of go from one unit to the next and you show your competency in that and you go forward. Why isn't life neat like that? and why doesn't Waldorf education try to make it neater than it is? And here we really face a very deep mystery of human evolution. It's so interesting that the place in which Steiner speaks about this most explicitly is a book called The Mission of the Folk Souls. I don't know if that's its title anymore. All of my books go back to the 1960s and 70s translations, and the names keep getting changed. But in The Mission of the Folk Souls, which are lectures that Steiner gave in Scandinavia, the main thrust is the Norse myths. Very interesting. So he's talking about what was to eventually be the basis of the fourth grade curriculum in these lectures. Also, in these lectures, he talks about the mystery of the power of the astral body at this early age. And it was as though Steiner himself was beginning to formulate the Waldorf curriculum before he was asked to start the school, long before, on a certain level. And these two things come together very naturally. So here in essence is what he says, that with the original intentions of the progressive beings who created humanity and who worked hard over the many planetary stages, giving the seeds of the physical body in old Saturn, the seeds of the etheric body in old Sun, seeds of the astral body in old Moon, and finally we have the ego possibility on the Earth. And now with the ego there as the organizing principle, it's possible to bring these bodies together. Now, we are usually, and this is so one-sided, so terribly one-sided, I'm certain when I speak about these bodies that you are seeing the Matryoshka doll. Well, I spoke about that myself earlier. It's my fault. But probably in your training, if you were trained, in conferences you've gone to, workshops you've gone to, books that you've read about Waldorf education, we always get this schematic, two-dimensional picture, which we're told is insufficient, but nonetheless, that's the same picture given again and again of these bodies in space. And we imagine that they kind of always are like this. They're, you know, always hanging around with each other, like balloons floating above the physical body. Sometimes one is stronger, sometimes the other. But what is often lacking in these descriptions, and what is so necessary for us as teachers to understand, is the time element, the chronology of the way in which these bodies develop. Now, we know, of course, in the life of the child, we can go through the 7-year periods and which body is stronger and all of that. But we have to realize that before that body becomes stronger, for example, before the astral body assumes its strength, it's not just there as a static form ready to flash up. It is in movement. It is coming towards the child. It is actually being held in reserve by spiritual beings to be given to the child at such a time when he or she is ready for it. An image that I use in many lectures, especially Waldorf school parents can understand this one, is of the trust fund that, you know, maybe our wealthy uncle, well, not ours, not our teacher's wealthy uncle, but the parents, more likely, wealthy uncle, left somebody a trust fund with $1 million, but they cannot touch that $1 million directly. They can't touch that principal until they're 40, because the uncle knows better, you know, how stupidly they would fritter away that money were they any younger than 40. So they don't get the money, they just get the interest, and that's fine. That pays for their children's Waldorf tuition and maybe other things as well. And meanwhile, they can't deleteriously dilute the wealth that is due to come to them in the future. And we could say that the trust fund is modeled on the heavenly trust fund that guards our principle, and our principle is particularly of the nature of astral body and ego, and waits until we are of sufficient maturity to be able to receive those higher members. There is a tremendous amount in our culture which does everything possible to speed up the onset of the astral body. We'll be talking about that quite a bit through the rest of this conference, because it's an important theme in grade 4. But the actual ideal of the spiritual world, the actual intention, the necessity of doing it this way, was determined to be this, that the human being would be born physical body with enough etheric forces to form and organize that physical body, but that the etheric body then would incorporate slowly. It would take 30, 33, 35 years for the etheric body to be sufficiently lodged within the human physical body, so that at age 35, the astral body could begin its process of incorporation. And that in turn would take many years more. So we were really, really intended to be very slow developing. And if you think of Michelangelo's wonderful depiction of the recumbent form of Adam, just able to raise his hand, you see he's born, he's created, he's already a mature human being. You see that? He's about 35, we could say, in that image. He's clearly older than his 20s. He's still asleep. He's still a physical, etheric being. And only then is God going to touch him. And you see, God's moving with this breeze, this wind behind him, blowing everything around. The astral body is now being given, and with that, the ego that will follow in its place. So here we see how the human being was meant to be, that the astral body would come to a sleeping, autonomous kind of automaton of a human being who is incapable of acting really out of himself, who'd be walking around in a bit of a trance, but looked after by the spiritual world, like a child up until age 5 or 6, but even sleepier, because there was nobody any more wakeful to elicit anything from that little one. And then at age 35, the astral body would come. But now, the astral body comes between ages 9 and 10. At least it makes its first incursion. Aha, what can we make of this? Let's look at this in the next lecture.